Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Wrestling Wednesday. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the fan, or the Party Animals on YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM, the fan. Party on, party people. I just saw on the social medias, well, you know TikTok is leaving us, right? Is that happening?
It sounds like it's going to happen unless it gets saved here at the last ditch. So the 19th, I believe, is Sunday? Yeah, I think that's the last day it'll be around.
That affects people's lives in a big way?
To people that have desperate problems, yes.
Okay. All right.
Go back to Reels, guys.
Vine. Bring Vine back.
People freaking out like, oh my God, my career is gone. I'm like, well, if your career is based off being a TikTok influencer, you didn't have a stable career to begin with.
Well, they made that money, though.
I'm not knocking the hustle, but it's like, I've seen some of the videos, some of the meltdowns and stuff like that. I'm just like, Instagram's right there.
Yeah.
Like, go to it. And I've seen a bunch of people are moving to another Chinese company. I'm like, that'll work out well for you.
Oh, Red Note?
Yeah.
Red Note. Doesn't seem like the best way to go about it. But I did see, do you see what the Lions did? I saw this during the break. There's a woman on the old TikTokers that posted a picture. And the caption was, when your six-month-old is 31 pounds, the Detroit Lions, owners of, in my belief, the best offensive line in the NFL.
Indeed.
Replied to this woman, dibs. They're just like, yeah, we're just go ahead. Put him in some Honolulu blue. We'll go ahead and we'll draft him.
Okay.
Yeah, they're calling dibs on a six-month-old that's 31 pounds. They feel he'll fit right in.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, dibs.
31 pounds.
I love that the Lions are good. Because now we get to find out that they have creative people on their social team.
Yeah,
now.
No, you don't get to be creative when you're getting smacked around.
No, you don't.
It requires you being super creative all the time. Shout out to the Blazers social media team because they are very good.
Yeah, you still got to do it. Mm-hmm. Still got to do it. Hey, I saw this report come out today from Matt Hayes, USA Today, that the Georgia Bulldogs wanted to hang on to Carson Beck when he entered the transfer portal. Remember.
That's sure.
This young man, he was going to go to the NFL draft. He has a torn UCL. And so he said, nah, maybe I'll come back to college. And within a day of reentering the transfer portal, it became known that he was going to go to the University of Miami. And this report from Hayes saying, no, Georgia wanted to hang on to him and they tried to make the effort, but Beck was like, nope, I'm going to go to Miami, where his girlfriend is.
Yeah.
And we saw what they did with Cam Ward this past year, too. He's like, well, maybe I can do that. Cam Ward is really good at Washington State, though.
The whole being good part preceded it.
Yeah. You know what he drove his car with Georgia?
Who?
Cam Ward? Part of his NIL deal? Carson Beck?
No.
NIL was not the big issue here.
No. What did he drive?
He had a Lambo. Quinn Ewers has it. Aston Martin.
Yeah, I know he is the Aston Martin.
Yeah, yeah.
Having boosters is good.
Yeah, but I feel like Georgia, come on. Everything that you guys have had, we're going to be giving guys Lambos?
Yeah.
Probably not the best. See, I think
it wrapped around a freaking tree at some point in time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But
also, don't give them vehicles that weigh too much.
Oh, yeah, okay. There you go.
Destroy themselves, not others.
This tells me, though, what Georgia feels and how Georgia feels about the transfer class in the portal right now, right? One, they're behind the eight ball with who they can bring in from the portal because they're behind everybody else. Because we saw with guys like Bo Prabula, who had to leave Penn State in December because he was like, I got to find a landing spot from these quarterback needy teams. I think also with how valuable the portal was this past year, think of every legitimate contender in college football this year.
Mm-hmm. Transfers.
Transfer portal dictated all of it. And you're going to be looking at this year, the national championship game, Will Howard versus Riley Leonard are two guys that transferred in just this past offseason. Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to go deeper. Dylan Gabriel at Oregon. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward at Miami, who was a Heisman Trophy finalist and a team that was in the playoff hunt up until the very end of the season. Sam Levitt, Arizona State's quarterback, was in the transfer portal. Hell, you can have.
Dictated by an Oregon State quarterback going to Michigan State.
That's right.
And Aiden Childs.
You can put an asterisk next to it, but Quinn Ewers was a transfer portal guy as well. He wasn't last year's mm-hmm. portal, but.
From
you know,
Ohio State.
From Ohio State, right? The only they're in the if you take the final eight teams in college football, the only ones that were not portal guys were Drew Aller, mm-hmm. Maddox Madsen, mm-hmm. and Gunnar Stockton / Carson Beck, which are the three teams that played with a quarterback deficiency mm-hmm. in the college football playoff,
which kind of highlights that. And you know, we talked about this the other day, the difference between being spoiled on the West Coast with quarterback play and the rest of the country not yeah. knowing how to play the position. I think that's becoming a thing that is it's impacting maybe the SEC more than any other conference in the country because of the transfer portal, because of the proliferation of talent, because of how things are moving around. Don't get me wrong, the SEC is cleaning up in the skill positions and in the trenches, which is like the most impactful things that, you know, day in, day out during the season. But look at the quarterback play in that conference.
That's kind of always been the story with the SEC, though, is that they were able to stockpile talent everywhere. Look at the early mm-hmm. Alabama teams, right? Mm-hmm. It was they didn't have a quarterback. Nope. When who was old Bama Bangs bro, whose brother was on the MTV high school show?
Oh God,
John Parker Wilson.
Yeah,
that was
his
name.
And then you move into even like the advanced version, the advanced version of that, and Greg McElroy.
Yeah,
like.
That there's always kind of been that. Now, there are transfers like Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
There were guys like Tim Tebow, Jalen Hurts, mm-hmm. Tua Tagovailoa, obviously. But that was Alabama's quarterback run. They shifted the idea of how they recruited that position.
And where they spent their money.
And if you look at a lot of the teams in the SEC, like, hell, you can even go to Stetson Bennett, mm-hmm. right? Stetson Bennett was the guy that Georgia was like,
5 years or 6 years.
We don't want you. And he's like, okay, goes to a JUCO and then comes back to Georgia, right? That is kind of always what, but they've always been able to stockpile literally every other
everywhere
position.
Else. Yeah,
and you have like serviceable to good quarterback play. That is what gets you by. Well, NIL has leveled the playing field, mm-hmm. but this is an interesting one because NIL, obviously not a factor in the Georgia decision no. with Carson Beck, but I think it is telling of what Georgia thinks of the talent pool in the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
And are we going to see a big shift in college football this year like we did, or next year like we did this past season, with that quarterback transfer portal being the guys who make teams and turn them into contenders in the playoff runs?
I think we also got spoiled with possibly a generational quarterback class last year in the NFL.
Yeah.
With Drake, Caleb, Jaden, Bo, and potentially JJ and Michael, but
Penix.
Yeah, it's you take a look at that group and you're like, oh, that's normal. And it's like, how many of those guys are transfers? And you know, how many of those guys are moving around? And yeah. it's like, Bo's a transfer, Penix is a transfer, Caleb's a transfer. Like, I think that when that first happened, that first portal, we got kind of spoiled by that. But I think we also just got generationally lucky for a couple years of just having really good quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're in a little bit of a sparse period of quarterback play in college football. Like, this draft class does not look good at all for quarterbacks. Next year's class doesn't look that great for quarterback play right now. And I think that you're going to see the matriculation in the movement, mm-hmm. like the group of guys, you know, the Mateers, the Mendozas, well, and those guys, but they're not the same level of quarterback. And maybe, because Bo Nix was not on this level. He was a guy that was, you know, he was good, but it was like, wasn't really working for him. So he goes to Oregon, then it gets supercharged. And maybe you see that with some of these guys. I think you can say the same thing with Penix. Like, there's been a lot of these guys, like, there's trends or signs of being good, Cam Ward, and then kind of unlocking it to another level. And again, maybe somebody in this group, the Malik Murphys, the Miller Mosses, you know, of those guys. But
see, I don't think that will happen, though, because of where they're going.
Yeah.
And here, this is the big difference here is like Will Howard went to Ohio State. Dylan Gabriel went to Oregon. Riley Leonard went to Notre Dame, where they had all recruited at this level of being a championship contender. Carson Beck goes to Miami. That could be probably the most impactful. John Mateer going to Oklahoma. Oklahoma had a lot more issues than just the quarterback position.
And they had the five-star that they were behind before this.
But that could be the unlocking. They have a new offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. obviously. Ben Arbuckle coming from Washington State and being with John Mateer before.
Sounds like a familiar thing we've
going
seen.
They're going to hit the road running right there. Fernando Mendoza going to Indiana. I don't know if Indiana is going to do it again like they had this year. Their schedule is going to be tougher just inherently by not missing literally everybody in the Big Ten that was of note this past year, except for Ohio State. But then that familiarity that you had, Curtis Rourke, he was really dang good. He was really good this year, but are all of the, they're going to be losing a lot of those transfers that came in for one final run. This past year from James Madison and elsewhere, they had a lot of one-and-done type guys. You look at Luke Cromanhope from Florida State. He goes to Mississippi State. Mm. That's not going to be a big one. And we're talking these are just the highly rated quarterbacks in the portal. Malik Murphy goes to Oregon State. They are not going to be a college football playoff contender. Miller Moss at Louisville. Louisville's not going to be a college football playoff contender. Darian Mensah is going to Duke. Mm-hmm. Not a contender.
To fill the role left by Riley Leonard 2 years ago.
Fill the role of Malik Murphy, who is going to Oregon State, who had a career year at Duke this past year. And then Connor Wegman goes from A&M to Houston. Not going to be that big step up. I think that right there, the Carson Beck in Georgia being like, we wanted to have him back. I think that says a lot about what the portal class looks like.
Where things are at. Well.
Now, who are they going to be able to, and this is going to be the dirty little note of college football, right? Coaches are complaining about it left and right. Which collective is going to be able to lure a sitting quarterback out for a team like Georgia, who knows they need one, and how do they go and find that quarterback moving forward? Spring portal is where they might find their quarterback.
Which is an interesting spot for Georgia to find themselves.
I would say so. Yeah, I think that would be a pretty unique position that they're in. Jalen Williams said something yesterday. Oklahoma City Thunder, do you know him?
I do.
He's pretty good on playing defensive basketball.
Not to be confused with Jay Will.
Yeah, that's right. Don't confuse them. He made a great point. And does there need to be a pivot from the NBA? Next on The Fan. All right. Jalen Williams of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He jumped on a really good point here. He said he's an elite defender in the NBA. And I think we have a lot of really good perimeter defenders in the league right now. They don't get a whole lot of recognition because of the fact that where does the defensive player of the year usually go?
Unless it's Marcus Smart, a big.
Well, actually, if you look at the last, 30 years? It has been a big every year except for 95 and 96 to Gary Payton and 2021-22 to Marcus Smart. And so what Jalen Williams said is, I think there needs to be two defensive players of the year. It's just a big every year right now. He's right. And do we need to add another defensive player of the year, or is this more of a participation trophy?
To an extent. I mean, you did have the couple of years where you had Kawhi and Draymond mixed in there as well as Marcus Smart. But for the most part, yes, it is an unending amount of bigs. But here's also the crux of it. The most important defensive player on the floor is a big.
Yeah.
And that's indisputable because the most valuable shot in the NBA is rim scoring. And that's the thing. Yeah.
But in a game that is now threes or
still,
dunks.
Still the most important shot on the floor is at the rim.
Right. But what you do need perimeter defense. Sure. It's a completely different skill set, though. And that's where I go, I think he's probably right in that. Because there, it's so
it's harder
different.
To be more impactful out there. That's the thing. Is like it's the inverse of like. I mean, honestly, MVP really should just be like offensive player of the year at this point. Like that's really what it should boil down to. Because Nikola Jokic is not good defensively, but yeah. He's maybe the best offensive player we've ever seen. But like that's kind of the reward side of this. Is like you've seen MVPs who win MVP because they score a million points and they do it efficiently and they are the engines of teams. It's not entirely limited to the guard forward core, but for the most part it has been, with the exception of the last couple years where you've seen Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis, like that group run it. But you go look at the MVPs over the same period of the same 30 years, you're going to see a lot of guards and a lot of wings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's what's being asked. And that's the thing, is like guards and wings are being asked to carry the offensive burden. Bigs are being asked to carry the defensive burden. It's a interesting note that kind of relates to this. Paul George, did you hear what he said about playing center? He's been playing backup center.
Yeah.
He's like, he's getting tired of getting beat up playing backup center. He does not having joy. Well, that's the thing about playing a big in the NBA, is you are asked to do things that are quote unquote not fun. It's like Ant Edwards the other day. I don't want to pass the ball.
Being an offensive lineman.
Yeah. It's like, but that's the thing. It's like their reward, so to speak, is that their value, their intrinsic value for the most part hinges on their ability to protect the rim. Like the exceptions are the Jokic's, the Embiid's, the Cats. Like those are like the bigs where their offensive versatility is alters the ability or willingness or capability to play defense and how much that impacts those things.
Does it take anything away from them to acknowledge a perimeter defender then?
No, I don't think so. But how great, or what is the difference, I would say, between Jrue Holiday, arguably the best perimeter defender in the league at his peak, on the Boston team that features Jaylen Brown, that features Jason Tatum, that features Derek White, and also Kristaps Porzingis and Al Horford? What's the actual defensive burden placed on him versus what it is for a guy like Porzingis or Horford?
Well, it's the best perimeter player for the opposition.
Sure.
I mean,
but he's also, he, much like most bigs in the NBA, the ask of Jrue Holiday isn't a heavy offensive burden. It's more on the defensive side, where like he's the rarity. And it's why you see his name get tossed into Defensive Player of the Year and make viable arguments for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't. And I think that's where it kind of skews to, because what's the ask? And the ask is for 90% of bigs in the NBA to take on that burden. And I think that's why it skews that way. And I think it's...
Well, I know it skews that way, but I don't understand why it would... Why acknowledging a perimeter defensive player of the year would be a bad thing?
No, okay, if you want to say perimeter defensive player, sure.
Well, that's what Jalen Williams is saying, is that you...
I don't...
Give two defensive players of the year, similarly to having, like, all-NBA... You know,
but we have all defensive teams,
front court and back court. Yeah, but he's just saying, give one to a perimeter guy too, because they're two completely different skill sets.
Well, then have an MVP and an offensive player of the year.
Well, yeah, that's what every other league does.
I mean, literally, every
other league does that.
I like that it is skewed towards bigs, to be honest, because it's the thing. Like, they don't get to do the fun stuff.
I think that
that is the ask of them,
and that is. So Jrue Holiday, to your point, he isn't asked to do the fun stuff either.
And he's been a viable candidate to win it.
Right. And so Jalen Williams doesn't necessarily get asked to do the fun stuff. Tumani Kamara. Mm-hmm. And I think what Jalen Williams is saying here without saying it is that he knows that Victor Wembanyama is just going to own this award for his entire career moving forward.
Well, that's the thing, though, because he is... Because I don't want a big defensive player of the year and a perimeter defensive player of the year, because... there is nothing anyone on this planet can do to change Victor Wembanyama from being the best defensive player on the planet, regardless of position.
I know they're not going to vote him every year.
I know,
though.
But I mean, like, the whole idea of, like,
that's ridiculous.
We need to have this so we can separate it so we have some acknowledgement too. No, you don't get that because he's the best defensive player on the planet. Like, I don't care 1 through 5, up and down the roster. That's him.
There you go. Now you're making a point that makes sense.
Timothy Chalamet. Don't come close to it.
And you don't
get the participation trophy. Sorry, bud.
Okay. Now you made something that makes sense. The other part I was not with you on.
That's fine.
I do. Like, I think what Jalen Williams is saying is that, like, it's not really clear cut and people want to just dumb it down to blocked shots. Well, Drew Holiday and Jalen Williams, they're not blocking shots like Biggs because that's not what they're asked to do.
No.
But you know,
and Derek White might actually be the second best shot blocking wing in NBA history behind Dwayne Wade,
especially without his front tooth. Because when he lost that tooth, it was like he got up a little bit higher.
And
was able to block
a hockey shot. Guy.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. He was more aerodynamic,
mm-hmm. less resistance, a little more bounce. He got rid of the hair too. You know, the little bits that were left that were hanging on. My man said, "Nope, we're gonna go bald and call it good."
Yeah,
but no, like J-Dub has been playing as a big this year. Defensively, mm-hmm. and that's like what he's talking about. It's like, well, yeah, guess what, dude? You're having the responsibilities of a big. Welcome to the club.
Yep.
So he wants to be like, well, I have the big responsibilities, but I should be acknowledged because I'm a guard doing big. Like, no. You're doing the thing that all the 7-footers get asked to do all the time.
Yep.
Welcome to that hellscape. For all of the money you get for putting ball in hoop, this is the thing that, like, this is the single intrinsic thing. Up and down, like, this is why the Blazers draft Donovan Clingan. This is why the Memphis Grizzlies draft Zach Edey. They have Jaren Jackson already, but, like, you know what? You know where we get value? Big dudes doing big dude things.
Text on the Vancouver Ford text line, it'd be like Genty whining that all the quarterbacks get the Heisman and there should be 2 awards. Well, that was a big problem with the Heisman Trophy, and I don't know if that person's ever followed along. That was the big complaint, is that it was just
the best quarterback
on the best team, which, and I'm honestly glad that Travis Hunter won it, and this Ashton year was Genty the
first,
took second.
Yes, this is the first year in a very long time, and I think it speaks to the quarterbacks not being as good as they've been in the past, but it was the 2 best players in the country. And that's the same, like, defensive player of the year. Like, if you want to argue whether Rudy Gobert's impact because he's not as good on the perimeter, it's like, yeah, when you ask the guy who's one of the premier rim protectors of all time, the ask changes from, like, hey, go from doing big man things to doing guard things.
But I also think there is a big problem with, like, the Heisman voting and with, like, all defensive team is that a lot of the voters aren't good at voting for these. And they don't give it to the best player in the instance, they just give it to the person who got the best stats.
Yes. And I don't like it when it ends up like, well, you know, I've seen some of the voting where it's like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got defensive player of the year votes last year because he led the league in steals. And I'm just like,
right there.
Well, I mean, you look at, and that's, I love that we have public voting now because we get the name and shame.
Shame.
Like I've been asked if I'm a voter. I'm not. I would like to be, because I would take it seriously, because I would spend the time and vote by vote and have a justification for why. And I just don't think many people do that, which is insane because this is actually, and this is a bigger problem, this stuff is tied to contracts.
Mm-hmm. They should get rid of that. That language just doesn't make sense because it's...
It can make people millions of dollars.
Well, and it also skews players to big markets, mm-hmm. because big markets have more eyeballs.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're... In a Portland, for instance, a reporter in, you know, Memphis who covers the entire NBA that's voting on this probably saw you 3 times.
Mm-hmm. You have to be so overwhelming, i.e. Victor Wembanyama,
mm-hmm.
that it's like just a no doubter. Like,
and twice of those are when you play Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the thing. It's just and for, like, as long as he is healthy, he should win the award.
Yeah.
Like, that's, unless somebody does something otherworldly, and this is, you know, people are like, well, he shouldn't. It's like, yeah, no, he should.
Yeah.
He should. Like, Jaren Jackson Jr. is having an incredible year defensively, but he's only playing 29 minutes a game. You know, there's not a single Memphis Grizzly playing more than 30 minutes. That's how deep they are.
Really?
Not a single one.
I feel like that's going to be beneficial come April.
Well, considering that they had 38 players. Last year, 37 different players or 38 different players. It was an NBA record on their roster.
Are they going to finish with the second best record in the West?
I still think that they could.
They got chased down Houston, which is crazy.
Well, Houston has been kind of up and down, up and down. Jalen Green's been balling, but they've also been up and down. And then Memphis has got to stay healthy, and Jaw's got to stay on the floor. So, but yeah, I mean, I think both those teams are going to have a nice little push down the stretch.
Crazy.
Victor Wembanyama is a good transition point here because something very nasty happens in sports, and it happened just 2 weeks ago. There was maybe the cutest jersey swap ever, and it turned out to be a Trav Sham mockery. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
But we're talking about the greatness of Victor Wembanyama and how he's going to win all of the Defensive Player of the Year awards. And on December 27th, there was a very cute incident that transpired. Victor Wembanyama did a jersey swap with a young kid who had his jersey on. And there's a picture of Vic holding up what looks like the world's smallest jersey because he's an enormous 7'5" human.
Extra large.
And then Vic's jersey, which the kid could live in.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cute. It's the Spurs social media threw it up and says best jersey swap ever with a crying happy eyes emoji. Da 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 da. Well, fast forward today on the Golden Auction sites, December 27th, jersey swap with young fan after game, Victor Wembanyama, game used photo match San Antonio Spurs City Edition jersey. That's nasty work.
That's brutal. How much are they listing it for?
I'm still trying to get it. I closed the tab. So when I was looking for it, it's could get up, they're saying, to seven figures.
Starting price is $10,000 on the auction. So
there's six figures. Why does it say seven?
Somebody gonna pay $1 million for that?
No.
Nah, dog. That is awful. And look, there, if you ever wonder why an athlete is hesitant to sign an autograph for you or even a young child, this is exactly why. This is exactly why. What, like, autograph hunters and autograph hounds.
Nasty people.
What they will do is they'll bring up and, like, they'll just flip open, like, a binder. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, will you sign this? And guys are like, dude, you're just going to go and sell this.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you're going to do. So oftentimes, what professional athletes will do is they'll say, hey, what's your name? And I will personalize it because personalizing it means you won't go and sell it to somebody else, right? But even worse, they'll use kids. Like, they will use kids. And I've been with guys who have been like, they see...
Oh, they do it on the rails, the visitors.
Well, they see from a distance and they go, okay, I see the guy, he hands something from his binder to a kid, and the kid comes over and is like, hey, will you sign this? And the guy will go, hey, all right, what's your name? Mm-hmm. I'll make it to you, which should be even cooler for the kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is to just get it, hey, to Johnny or whatever. They're like, you just have to sign your name. And I've been with guys who've been like, here, you can take this back over to that guy, and if you want me to sign something for you, I'll sign it for you, but I'm not signing for him.
Yeah.
And they just look at the guy like, come on, man. Like, you're going to use a kid like that?
And the answer is yes.
They do, all the time.
And they have, like you said, those binders. It's the card binders. You know, they just have, like, slotted away. And it's like...
with the little sleeves, and they'll have pictures in it. Or they'll have, like, game, like, memorabilia and stuff that they'll slide out and just be like, oh, I want this signed. It's crazy. And a lot of guys will just sign it and do whatever. But also, professional athletes, the more things you sign, the less valuable your autograph is. So they also have some awareness of that because the fewer things that you sign, the more you'll get paid from an actual
auction house. Like when you go do this stuff, because that's what happens. They like when you do like a the rookie card packs. What's his name? Tyson Beck. He designs like some like one of one cards.
Yeah,
and they're awesome looking. Like he spends a ton of time and putting the like a one of one. What do they call it? Like the they have like some name, like, you know, cosmic rookie card, and it'll have like a hologram, and it'll be their signature, and it'll be a one in a pack of like 50,000 Topps cards, and like that thing will be worth
yeah.
a sizable amount of money. And but it's because particularly it's not personalized and it's a one of one type deal. And it's like, but if you just have stuff out there everywhere, it's crazy. But then there's also guys like Dame, who stayed after for hours.
Yeah, sign everything.
Hours upon hours.
For every single kid.
Until guys were gone, yeah. always. And yeah. it's like, you know, it depends on what you want to do and how you want to do it. But it's...
I don't think you should use your kid to do a jersey swap, especially if it goes viral. Like, that's a really cool story for that kid to have his entire life, and now his parents are just taking it away from him. Because he's like 4.
Yeah.
4 years old. It's like...
Take the picture of like the viral moment and put it inside the frame. Because like
that kid's gonna grow up and his parents are gonna be like, "Hey," he's gonna be like, "Hey, whatever happened to that jersey?" They're like, "Oh yeah, we sold it." Now, if they take that money, put it into account, and his college is paid for,
different story. But
pretty good.
In all reality, it's going to a Birkin bag or a vacation.
Well, if that happens, that sucks.
You know what I mean?
But what if these parents are doing that for a very good reason? Does that change your opinion on it? Like, if they put it into a trust and they end up gaining interest of this 4-year-old kid,
sure.
say they do get pays six for figures for it,
yeah.
not just, well, maybe by the time he's in college, it'll take $1 million. But if he gets six figures at 4 years old, he can't touch that account until he's 18 or 25 years old. That kid's going to be very, very good in life.
Yeah.
And that could be a game changer for him.
Sure, it could. But it's still nasty work.
Surface is not good. On the surface, it's really bad right now.
And look, you could say like, oh, well, you know, we got it. It's our choice to do with whatever we want, blah, 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 blah. Sure.
I don't think that's what he signed up for.
No. And I think when he did that swap, you know. But also, oh God, I can't believe I'm on both sides of this, but I am going to a little bit. You don't, as the signer... get to decide what somebody does with it.
No. And like, look, Wimby, I liked his response. It was just like a sad face. Like, I can't believe this is happening because this was a really cool moment for him as well. And no, it's not JJ Redick's kids. Because that was really cool. Chris Paul, Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
They gave jerseys to JJ Redick's kids after they played the Lakers on Monday night.
Knox and Kai.
And they gave them their jerseys because they had a lot of really cool stuff because their dad was an NBA player. Their house burned down.
They lost everything
in the LA fires. And Wimby and CP3 were like, we know they're going to get some really cool stuff, but we want to be the ones that restart their collection of
And Chris Paul is one of JJ Redick's really, really, really good best friends.
That's all. That was a cool move.
Yeah. And I don't care about, you know, oh, he's a millionaire. He'll be fine. And I'm like, those kids, man.
Yeah, they don't know any better. They just lost
all their stuff.
The really cool things that they've had in their life and all their toys and stuff, too.
And that's a bummer.
Would you rather have the CP3 or the Wemby? Because I think the brother that got Wemby is probably going to have the better
trade there. I mean, especially if it was New Orleans Pelicans Hornet or New Orleans Hornets CP3 jersey, that's a banger. The New Orleans Hornets New Orleans Hornets CP jersey.
I feel like if I'm betting on a kid, though, I'm gonna go with.
Yeah. I mean, the Wemby.
I'm betting on the kid's life who got the Wemby jersey just because of the championships thing. It's like you're gonna be very successful, but you got the CP3 jersey. You know,
you're gonna be very successful, but also very honorary.
Yeah, and you're gonna not win championships. And maybe you're going to want to go to Los Angeles at some point. They're going to veto that.
But maybe you're going to make a lot of money.
But you're going to find your way back there.
But Chris Paul did make it to Los Angeles.
He did. Well, on the other side of town.
And I bet you his house was okay.
Yeah, it was really good. He's been living that good life.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what happens. So, yeah, don't be a scumbag when you're getting things signed. It's nasty stuff. I just saw a text on the Vancouver text line that references the Nines. And, yes, that was where teams stayed forever until the new hotel opened up. And you would see... just nasty amounts of people out there just waiting for people to sign. And you still see it at the practice facility a little bit.
Yeah.
But security does a pretty good job of keeping the riffraff away.
Yeah, I mean, I think the riffraff, you want to get the autograph hounds, you shouldn't.
That's what I'm talking about.
The autograph hounds, no. But just, like, kids should just be able to get autographs.
Yes.
Like, I remember sending cards. Remember sending cards to just mail it to teams and guys would either sign them or not? Shaquille O'Neal sent my card back saying with a letter that said, I only sign a certain kind of card. Yeah, dude.
Did he even deal with Tops or something, I bet?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, that's all. I was like, dang, that sucks. really wanted this Shaq card signed. Mm. But my brother and I used to go in the back of the Beckett. It had all the addresses of all the teams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where we learned how to do, like, writing out on a envelope how to properly write an address mm-hmm. and care of, you know, and to go through all of that. And we'd pop those bad boys in the mail. And we got some really cool cards back. Chipper Jones signed, like...
That's not a surprise.
A holographic card. And it was awesome. And I gave it to my sister for some reason. Ooh. She's a big Braves fan.
Oh, okay.
I regret that.
Yeah, I was saying, that one's probably tough, huh?
I don't even know where that... She probably doesn't even know where that card is. Mm. I should steal that back. That was awesome.
You should find that one, see if it pops up on anything.
Yeah, you'd send them to guys like you don't like aren't really good either, and they'd like write you a note.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like it's one of the really cool things. Like it's the whole like you know my first baseball game and how I became a Cardinals fan. You know, I got a Polaroid with Ozzie Smith. Like you know, it's
sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just write a letter, get a thing back. Yeah.
It's, cool. It's the fun little thing. So don't be a nasty autograph person.
That's right.
And if you want your kid to go get an autograph, let him go up there and ask. And hopefully they don't get Nancy Kerrigan.
Dang. Your kid?
No.
Galooly going to come out of security and just kneecap your kid?
No, it's a note to Brooke Oldendam who got blown off by Nancy Kerrigan when she asked for her autograph. Nasty work. Don't say no to kids. Don't say no to kids. It's gross. All right. Coming up next.
Getting Nancy Kerrigan.
I guess, you know, that does have, you know, multiple ways you can go with that.
I think the way that I win is probably the one most recognizable to people out there.
We gotta touch on this boomerang that keeps coming back in Deontay Johnson. We have to address this. Deontay Johnson back on another football team, the fifth. Danny and Dusty, today the fan. Deontay Johnson is trying to become apparently the first man to play for the most teams possible in a single regular season.
Coward move, though. He's going back to the same one.
I know, but it does count. Fifth team in the 24-25 NFL season as Deontay Johnson, after being let go by the Texans just yesterday, is going back to the Baltimore Ravens. I would imagine this signals that Zay Flowers is not going to be available for the Ravens, and they would like another weapon despite Deontay Johnson's particular brand of craziness.
Panthers, Steelers, Ravens, Texans, back to Ravens.
Well, the thing is, he won't be available for the playoffs, though. It's not until after the Super Bowl that he's available.
Yeah. Yeah. But will he still get a Super Bowl ring?
Well, he was on the team earlier in the season, so he would.
I don't know how that works in the NFL. I don't know how it works because Major League Baseball, like if you were on the team at any point,
the same in the NBA, you get a ring.
I don't know if that's the way it works in the NFL.
I think you've got to be on the active roster, and that's kind of the deal.
Yeah, like what because we have that in the NBA often where it's like guy gets traded midseason, they play each other in the finals. He's like, no matter what, he's going to get a ring. Mm-hmm. It's like, would you want one if you lose though?
Yes. Because I think it's worth some money.
Maybe that's what Deontay Johnson was doing. He was just trying to...
Sprinkle it around?
Yeah. I mean, he got on 3 playoff teams this year. Try to get on as many playoff teams as you can. See if that's a good play. He wasn't going to get one in Carolina, that's for damn sure. No, Deontay Johnson's the type of crazy, like... And that's the thing. If Baltimore is willing to bring him back... We talked about this yesterday. It's like... You know, maybe with the Texans, it's like he just isn't picking up the offense fast enough. And they're taking a look at it going, well, we're not going to get him to the point where he can play. And we got other guys that are getting healthy. And we only have a limited amount of roster spots. Maybe we just say no. Because he wasn't even there long enough to be crazy in Houston.
No, not in Houston. Well, yeah, he was because they got rid of him so quickly. The interesting note here is the compensatory pick part of this. And this was hidden from me on the tweet. He can't play until after the Super Bowl.
After the Rose Bowl?
Yes, but he qualifies as an unrestricted free agent, and if he signs with another team, he factors into their compensatory pick formula, which could potentially help them in obtaining an additional draft pick in 2026. He doesn't have the ability to play this postseason and likely won't step foot back in the Ravens facility, but he can now help Baltimore in the offseason.
No, there you go. It's like, see, helping the Ravens win. Well, that's like, a good front office,
yeah,
too.
That's a... You know what? There's nothing you can do about this. We're going to go ahead and make this happen, and there we go.
Perfect. All right, well, Deontay Johnson.
I like it.
I wonder who's going to take a run at you next. Somebody will do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. But, you know,
ruling four teams out is okay. The Jets will take him. I think Aaron Rodgers would be like, I can fix him.
Yeah. Although, I mean, they have Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams. They need another one?
Well, he'll take a lot of the focus off of Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers goes back to the Jets, obviously.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. All right, coming up next, this has got to just make Cowboys fans feel great. There's a report out there that Jerry Jones has gone rogue.
Hmm.
We'll get to that here in hour number three. Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan.